most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to hour number two of Sports Talk with Vince Farrar. I'm Jimmy Hines. Really pleased now to be joined by a longtime friend of the program, longtime friend, that is Chad Speck, sports agent with A3. Chad, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, Jimmy and Vince. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing fantastic. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. I just wonder, with all of what's going on and the uncertainty and the lack of training camps in the NFL and so forth, how difficult is it being a sports agent right now?
Well, that's a great question, and it's very difficult. And, you know, first and foremost, you always think about your players because that's what your obligation is to. And so, you know, from that standpoint, just taking football, for example, and there's so many players that, you know, don't get an off season or an opportunity, you know, to potentially fight for a roster spot. And, you know, the league forced the teams to go from 90 to 80 before practices even start. And, you know, a lot of the roster spots are already, you know, fairly predetermined based on, you know, last year and who's under contract and whatnot. And so every year you just got a handful of guys fighting for a spot, and, you know, so many players just don't get that opportunity now because of the things that you just mentioned. And then, you know, closer to home, it's really hard, you know, when you represent players full time, it's really hard to have any idea what your own, you know, agency income is going to look like because, you know, from day to day, it's a different deal. And of course, we only get paid when the players get paid. So it's been an interesting time for sure.
So when you have a player like Daniel Batuli that does get cut, how do you find another home for him without his availability to practice? What do you do?
Yeah, well, the most critical thing is you know, for the player himself is to stay safe, you know, make sure they're staying in shape, obviously, and then make sure they're not you know, they're not doing anything that could potentially cause them to be exposed to the virus, so that if they're called upon, you know, they can be ready to go. And then it's just, it's constantly just calling folks, trying to, you know, track these player opt-outs, trying to see, you know, who tests positive for COVID, who ends up going on a team's, you know, COVID-19, you know, IR list. And you're going to see all throughout the year, I mean, assuming they're able to play the whole season, you're going to see rosters, especially the back end of rosters, you know, the 45th to 55th player and the practice squads, you're going to see those rosters shuffle unlike anything, you know, at least we've ever seen in my career.
Do you anticipate that a number of these players that have kind of been left out with the inability as a free agent to make a team based on a lack of practice, or some of them just going to have to wait till next year? Is that one of the facts that they're going to have to face?
Yeah, I think there's no question that's going to be the case, because a lot of teams are going to rely on veteran players. So I personally think you might even see a veteran player who was maybe out of football all last year, you know, return to a team that has some familiarity with him, just because he knows what to do. He knows the system. He knows the day in and day out grind of the NFL, and it's a lot easier than, you know, maybe bringing in a younger player that they haven't had as much exposure to. And, you know, with all the other leagues, of course, the XFL went bankrupt, and the Canadian Football League has not been able to play because of Corona. It's not like there's some other places you can go and try to get tape and get film. A lot of it is just going to be, you know, hey, you know, come back next year and try to take a swing at it. And then eventually the league's going to allow, you know, teams to do some of their weekly workouts where they bring in guys to take a look. But, you know, some of those protocols, you know, are still being worked out. And like I said, I mean, there'll be a lot of guys that as long as they stay safe and stay ready, you know, there'll be opportunities to, you know, to join practice squads over the course of the year, because I think some of these strict quarantine rules within the NFL are just inevitable that, you know, some guys are going to have to get sidelined for a few weeks.
Chad, do you think those NFL teams are going to use the practice squads for more of the veterans? Because I think they loosened up that rule in the type of player they can have in there? Or do you think that they will try to develop those guys and use those extra spots for younger players?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combination of both. And I think it's also going to be based on the competitive nature of your team. You know, someone who's, of course, everybody thinks they got a chance to win the Super Bowl right now. But as the year progresses, you know, you're going to understand, you know, what your playoff chances are and are not. You may see those teams go on the more developmental side of things, you know, whereas some of the other teams that are competitive may want to make sure, hey, we've got this guy under contract. He's a veteran guy. You know we can plug him in if we have to, you know, based on the, you know, different eligibility of the practice squad. So I think you're going to see a combination of both of them.
On Daniel, did that just come down to numbers for him in terms of them shrinking their roster really early?
Yeah, absolutely. It came down to numbers. And, you know, obviously he hadn't been there, you know, was an undrafted player. And, you know, a lot of those guys, the reps just aren't going to be there. There's no preseason games. You can't go get film. And, you know, so the ability to really, you know, make a difference, catch somebody's eye, it's completely different than it is in a typical year.
I want you to tell the story of one of your clients that's on the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, and Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who's a doctor. He's so accomplished, and he was really the first NFL player to make a decision to opt out of the season. Explain what went into his decision and what he's going to be doing instead.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was the first, and I think he had a very unique perspective on this thing because he worked in a long-term healthcare facility in Canada throughout the quarantine. You know, as you said, he's a medical school graduate, you know, doctor, still got to finish his residency, but, you know, he's well on his way, and it's an amazing story. But for him, you know, it's just like the NFL and the union has said all along, look, there's no way to completely eliminate risk, you know, for the players, you know, possibly even for the community if fans are allowed to come. There's no way to completely eliminate the risk. And, you know, doctors are just wired different. I mean, they care for people. You know, they want to help people. And Laurent just really felt like, based on, you know, the commitment that he had made and the oath that he has taken, that, hey, if I am going to take a risk, then I'm going to do it caring for others, not do it, you know, making a few million dollars to go play a game. And, you know, I don't know too many of us that think like that. And it's just really a phenomenal story. And he's going to be doing some more of what he was doing in quarantine, you know, working in some of the long-term healthcare facilities. And I think getting things in place to push further in on his residency and some of the other studies he's got to do.
Chad, did he not go to Canada to help out?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he's been there. He's been there the entire quarantine.
So is he gonna stay in Canada to help out? Is that what he's doing?
Yeah.
In Canada.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
In Canada.
Yeah, that's fascinating. And this is a big lineman, right?
Yeah, big lineman.
Hmm. Well, that's a great story. Chad, are
you?
Yeah,
really, really is.
Yeah. Are you in position to advise players on what they should do as far as playing or opting out? Or do you feel like maybe you could just educate them and then they make the decision?
Yeah, the latter. I think it's an education. It's making sure they understand the rules, the economics of it. From a financing standpoint, here's what happens. If you're in the high-risk category, you can opt out. You get $350,000 for the year. If you're just opting out because you're not comfortable playing, you're going to get $150,000 advance on next year's salary. That's a loan. It's an advance. The high risk categories of players, you know, that is a stipend. They will not owe that back to the teams. And so, you know, making sure they understand that, and then making sure they understand, you know, what's going to be required of them this year from a protocol standpoint. Because if a player violates the protocols and makes high risk decisions, you know, we saw Lou Williams in the NBA, you know, get in trouble in Atlanta for, you know, violating protocols. And if something like that's done in the NFL, I mean, you know, the club's going to have an opportunity to fine you or discipline you in some way. And so making sure they understand that, and then, And then really it's a personal decision, you know, for every player. And all of our levels of risk, you know, are different. And when you're talking about the health and safety of your body, that's a very personal thing. And I think it's for no one to say what to do or not to do. And we've just felt like it's our position to just educate them on everything and then let them make a decision.
You have represented, since he got to the NFL, Eric Berry, and obviously with his pre-existing condition, I would think it's highly unlikely he would play this year. But do you think that Eric has a desire to play in the NFL again?
Yes, I think that he does. And certainly, you know, this COVID thing is a curveball when it comes to all that. I mean, it kind of remains to be seen, you know, how that's going to play out. But Eric has been training extremely hard. He looks phenomenal. And I absolutely believe the passion is there. And we'll just have to see, you know, ultimately, you know, how that plays out.
So, Chad, I know you probably won't give up the specific teams that are interested in him, but what's a number in terms of teams that you think have expressed legitimate interest in bringing him aboard this year?
Well, I bet you know, Vince, since January, so, you know, Senior Bowl, you know, teams are getting ready for free agency and the combine and everything. Since that period of time to now, man, I would guess probably at least 18, 19 teams said, look, call us immediately, you know, if he's playing.
Wow. And what about any of your other clients that are of note that you've had an unusual experience with or in battling this COVID? Anything else jumps out in terms of what you had to deal with in terms of any of your clients?
Well, you know, another guy we all know here in East Tennessee, Daryl Taylor, obviously had the surgery in January to repair the stress fracture. And so that's been a very interesting process. You know, drafted in the second round by the Seahawks, went real high in the draft, but they haven't been able to, you know, manage any of the rehab, which typically, you know, those guys are in rookie minicamp within, you know, a week to 10 days of the draft. And so we've been having to do, you know, Zoom calls with physicians and, you know, go get a scan here somewhere in Knoxville and then get it shipped out to Seattle. And it's been it's been pretty wild when you're dealing with a player, especially a player that's never, ever reported to the team he's going to play for, yet is, you know, trying to handle a medical situation.
Our guest, Chad Speck, sports agent with A3. Chad, I didn't know this until, I guess, after the season, that Taylor had basically played the year with a stress fracture. I think it's amazing that he did what he did under those circumstances.
Yeah, entire year. I'm telling you, I've been representing guys 16 years. Daryl Taylor's one of the toughest people I've ever seen in my life. It's pretty astounding to me, that his pain tolerance.
Did he ever share with you after he hired you that he thought about opting out, or was that ever even an option?
No, he never considered it. He told us he thought about it and whatnot, but never been something that he gave serious consideration to. And look, when you're talking about rookie players, you know, it's, talked about earlier, it's a personal decision for everyone.
I meant opt out of his senior year at Tennessee.
No. No, he never said that he thought about sitting down at all. That's why I say he's so tough. And, you know, you talk to the guys over at UT in the training room and whatnot, and they're like, man, we knew he had it and managed it and all that kind of stuff, but he barely complained. I mean, they did everything over there that they were supposed to. I mean, he's just a tough dude.
Would you expect between the now and the deadline for players to opt out in the NFL, which is tomorrow at 4 o'clock, would you expect to see a large number decide, nope, I'm not going to roll the dice. I'm not going to risk it. I'm not going to play this year?
I think we'll see a handful of players make that decision, you know, over the next 24 hours. I don't know if I think it's going to be a lot. Obviously, you know, several guys have already announced. You know, most of these guys are at their team facilities now. And so they see all the, you know, precautions that are taking place. And I think it's just going to be, you know, hey, are you comfortable with the environment that you're seeing? And, you know, are you willing to put up with this, you know, for the next, you know, 4 or 5 months? And, you know, and then guys will kind of decide from there. But I wouldn't expect to see just, you know, just a whole lot of players over the next 24 hours do it. But I'm certain we're going to see some.
Chad, will you be traveling a lot with the NFL or to watch your clients at various NFL cities, or would you feel safe even doing that?
Well, as of right now, you know, we haven't. You know, we haven't traveled, you know, near as much. And my son was joking with me the other day that he didn't want me to lose my Sky Club access at the airport. and that might be going out the door this year, but as of right now, we can't. I mean, we're not allowed in training camps. Typically, we are. We're not allowed in training camps. You know, players are very restricted on who they can interact with. You know, so as of right now, it's real up in the air. I mean, you're going to have a lot of local and state jurisdictions that will make decisions on fans and who can be in the stadium. And, you know, the Raiders have announced there's going to be no fans. So, you know, we won't be going on the road near as much as, you know, as we typically have been in the past, I don't think.
All right. Well, watch out for that Sky Club access. That could be a problem.
I know, right?
Hey, Chad, thank you so much. Really do appreciate you taking the time to visit with us, and hopefully we'll get a chance to visit with you again sometime in the near future.
Thanks,
Chad. Yeah, anytime, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Chad. Chad Speck, sports agent with A3, his comments are really interesting, what agents are going through right now as well with their players. When we come back, we'll have more. If you want to join us, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. With Vince Farrar, I'm Jimmy Himes, Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Only one radio station makes your workday a little more manageable.
Only one station is 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Farrar. We're going to be joined shortly by Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News. We'll talk some college basketball with him, get his take on what he thinks of the Vols and where he might rank them with Eve Pons returning to the University of Tennessee. Boy, this one's kind of interesting. If you look at the NBA, Vince, there's a guy named Ty Warren with Indiana. He's had 53, 34, and 34 points in back-to-back-to-back games. That's the best-ever three-game streak for the Pacers in history, 119 points, as they defeat the Magic. Sometimes it's amazing to see players kind of come out of almost nowhere and just light it up. But that's incredible that a guy named Ty Warren has set a record like that for the Pacers.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a guy that that, you know, clearly took advantage of his time during the quarantine. And we've seen a number of guys come back better versions of themselves and have a larger role. You know, but man, he has just been absolutely on fire. A small forward and you know, tough to stop to this point.
Yeah. All right. The college football playoff has announced a schedule change. So Bill Hancock said that they are going to release the final rankings Sunday, December the 20th. The semifinals will be played January the 1st, the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. The national championship game will be January the 11th at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. The conference championship games are going to be played anywhere between December the 5th and December 19th. So they will come out with their ratings at that time. Originally, they were going to do it December the 6th, but now they've moved it to December 20th. Vince, I think that makes sense to move it back until all those games are played before you come out with your final ratings.
Yeah, absolutely, because you have to wait for those conference championship mm-hmm. games, and you know, they wouldn't come out before that. And look, Bill Hancock told us last time he was on not that long ago that they would be flexible. So yeah, whatever the circumstances are, they would adjust to them, and they may not be done having to adjust to them. Let's hope that we get to that, and if we're discussing anything in regards to, you know, the college football playoff or waiting on that last one, then we've probably made it pretty good. So When we were talking to Brad Edwards about that, Jimmy, did you get any sense that there would be the possibility that they might decide during the year or just before all the teams get going this season that maybe they could say, hey, TV needs this money, that we're going to do it on a one-year basis, or maybe not, and maybe if it's not even eight teams, say, all right, we're going to let five in, all the conference champions get a spot, and then four and five play basically a play-in, and then that's our sort of 2020 version of an expanded playoff. Did you get the sense that that could still happen?
Here's what I think about that. Now, he might have some inside information working with ESPN, so maybe that was a hint, but I think that's more wishful thinking. I think the people that run the college football playoff work at the speed of what, molasses? And so while I think it would be worthwhile, I think it'd be a good idea, I think it might be hard to do that. You would I don't know that you could play the playoff games any sooner than January 1. So then the first rounds. So then your next round, you could probably go the next weekend. So you go January, well, I don't know what that would be. I don't have a calendar right in front of me. But and then you could, let me think. It's January 11th. So it would be January the 9th. And then you could come back with your national championship game on January the 18th or so. I would favor it. I would like it. It would be revenue that you could derive from that. It's about the only way to do it. But I just think that I don't think it's going to happen. Do you?
I don't, but I could. I think what Brad Edwards was talking about is something that I don't think has been talked about enough, and that's the influence of television, and especially ESPN in a lot of these decisions. And the college football, all decisions are being made off of money. And if they've had a large amount of revenue, and they have an inventory of revenue that's been taken away, mm-hmm. and they can leverage to try to get some of those significant games back, they won't get back to even for a long time, as Brad Edwards said. But if you can get a significant chunk of revenue in adding a couple of playoff games, then I don't know why that wouldn't be listened to in a consideration. Even though I'm with you, ultimately I think they are so conservative that they maybe wouldn't make that kind of alteration in this unexpected, unprecedented season.
Yeah, I would definitely favor it. I certainly would. Yeah. So. All right. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News to talk college basketball. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes, Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
I'm VFL Charles Davis, and it's
52 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go on!
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Vince Ferrar. I'm Jimmy Himes. We're very pleased now to be joined by Mike DeCourcy. He is with the Sporting News, senior basketball writer, does a terrific job covering college basketball. Mike, how are you?
I'm very well, Jimmy. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. I hope that everything is okay in your world with all this craziness that's out there.
So far, so good. Feel for everybody who's had to deal with it at a much higher level than me. Hopefully we can get back to normal fairly soon.
Yeah. Eve Pons announces he's returning to Tennessee. First off, did that surprise you at all?
No, because a player with Eve's skill set, I mean, the fact that he has an international passport makes him very marketable on the international scene. But with his skill set at this point, you have to be a better offensive player to play in today's NBA. You have to be able to do more with the basketball. And he's not there yet. And so the idea that he'll never be there, I'm not ready to get on board with that. I think that's, you know, that's the only reason you just say, okay, I'm not going to be, I'm never going to be an offensive player. I'm just going to be able to block shots and you know, make close-in shots. I think he's capable of doing more than that. And I think he showed signs of that at times last year, but you have to be able to do it at a really high level to stay in the NBA. I think that there's time for him to do that this year. And I do think that we're seeing the concern in the part of a lot of players that there may not be a G League in 2020-21, and that being in college with you know, a guaranteed roof over your head and a place to play and train and compete and all of that is maybe preferable to sitting around wondering, you know, when basketball's going to start up in other places.
Do you think that Pons can improve his ball handling and outside shooting to the point where he could be a first-round draft pick?
You know, I'm not sure. The ball handling, I would say probably not, but I think that's less important for a player of his size. I think you have to be able to move, and defend screens certainly has that. And it really helps if you can make perimeter shots, especially from three-point range, but even if you can just step off a screen and do a little pick and pop from 16 feet, there's a value to that. I do think it's possible. I believe any player, if they really dedicate themselves to it, and if they need coaching on their form, are willing to accept it, and if they're willing to spend the time on it, I just don't believe that anybody's shot is irredeemable.
Mike, what about the point that maybe he won't put up the numbers or have the opportunities even offensively with what's being added to this roster next year? What do you think about that?
Numbers are not important to the NBA. They really don't care. They care what you're capable of doing. Now, if you have the opportunities and you can't do anything with them, that bothers them. But in terms of he averaged 14 points a game or 13 points a game or whatever, they don't care at all. They care if you shoot a high number, and they certainly want to see you block a lot of shots if you can, and he has certainly shown that that's a very strong asset of his game. So they want you to rebound. That's huge. Those are the numbers that they worry about. Point production is something that fans think about, and you know, coaches think about it in terms of winning games. If they're setting you up for shots and you're not making them, coaches aren't going to be happy. But if that's not your role in their offense, they're not going to sweat it.
With what Pons brings defensively, especially as a starting point, as the reigning defensive player of the year in the SEC, and then what Tennessee brings in adding Victor Bailey, the Oregon transfer, some of those five-star freshmen as well, how much improved of a defensive team do you think Tennessee will be this coming season?
Well, they're going to rely some on young players, so those players have to get in with what Rick likes to do, and as you mentioned, the transfer as well has to adjust to the system. I don't know if improved on defense is the issue as much as improved on offense is what they have to be. I think they have to be more productive at that end, and the defense, I think that will somewhat take care of itself. Rick's one of the really great defensive coaches in college basketball. When you start with a shot blocker with Eve's ability, they're going to find a way to be a really good defensive team. It was hard for them a year ago because they started out with one group and finished with another, and really struggled to recover from that. You don't anticipate that sort of thing happening this time around, so that the group will be together. They need some strong defense against the ball. I think the point guard position, that's the one question mark that you have about the Vols. I think everything else is going to be high end. And if the point guard position is adequate or better, I think that there's not much that they can't accomplish this year.
I guess Mike DeCourcy, he's a senior college basketball writer of The Sporting News. Mike, I've seen Tennessee ranked in the top 10 in some preseason polls. There are a ton of them out there. I've seen them ranked number 20. Where would you project Tennessee now that it has Pons back in the fold?
Yeah, I'd put them closer to the better side of that, to somewhere in the range of number 10, whether it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, but somewhere in that ballpark. I do expect that's what they'll be coming into this year. The SEC is an interesting league this year because they had a lot of players return along with Eve. Isaiah Joe at Arkansas is another. Obviously, Alabama got John Petty back. Florida, Scotty Lewis, I don't think even entered. If he did, it wasn't for very long. So there's a lot of ability around the SEC, but I don't think anybody in terms of proven players has more going for them at this point than Tennessee does. And I really like the Vols. Kentucky, you don't really know exactly. I mean, they got a lot of high-end players, and it's high-end players in a better class than last year's was. But they're all, they didn't keep anybody around, and that's, so it's going to be a challenge for them. Whether or not they have a John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins group, I'm not sure that they do. But they might have, they might have a group that's equal to or better than the P.J. Washington group of 2018. And so it'll be interesting to see what they're capable of. But it's going to be a really good SEC race. LSU, I forgot to mention them. They got three guys back in one day, and that was huge for the Tigers as well.
You mentioned the importance of having adequate or better play at the point guard for Tennessee. And I want to get your take on Victor Bailey, the transfer. I have heard rave reviews from a lot of people that watched him in practice last year and so far this year. What are your thoughts on Victor Bailey, and could he answer that question at the point guard position?
Yeah, I'm not – I got to be honest. I didn't see enough of him in the past to give you a really good read on him. I have to be – just to be frank, I couldn't – I could fake it, but I really haven't seen enough of him to know whether he's that guy. But I do think they have a few options, and so I do think it'll be covered. I'm just saying that that's the one element of the game in terms of lineup that you don't have a pretty proven guy. You lost Bowden as well, so you lost some shooting there. But I think Josiah Jordan James is going to have a big step forward this year. Last year was as much about opportunity as anything. I think he'll have a really strong season as a sophomore.
Mike, nationally, you're seeing some people have Villanova at the top. Some people have the Zags at the top. Duke, I'm sure, number one in some. I think Vegas is in line with those three as the best odds. Who would you favor as we sit right now as your projected number one team?
There's some others that have had Baylor too, and I lean mm-hmm. I would lean toward Baylor over Duke. I'm not sure that. That I love Duke's group as much as some others. I think they're going to be very strong, don't get me wrong, and Mike's the best there's ever been. So I think they're going to have a great year, but I'm not sure that I like them as much as I like Baylor's group or Villanova's group or Gonzaga's. And Gonzaga's kind of the one that I lean toward a little bit. They have a chance to build up, a really excellent resume. They have that chance to build up that confidence. It'll be interesting to see what happens with them if we are put in a position in the college basketball season like the college football season, where conference only play becomes the norm. I don't know what that does to Gonzaga's ability to say, hey, we're still great. Just because we're beating up on the WCC doesn't mean we still can't beat up on Carolina or Michigan or whomever if we got the chance.
Well, you actually led into my next question. I was going to ask you, we haven't really talked about basketball's potential impact with COVID because there's been so much emphasis on football. What else do you think could potentially be altered with the basketball season as we sit right now?
Well, I think the timing is potential to be altered. And a lot of that plays comes down to how football plays out. How does football go? I mean, we had the Big Ten announced today their redesigned regular season, conference games only, stretching from basically Labor Day to the first weekend in December with flexibility built in to stretch all the way to the third week of December if necessary, bye weeks built in. So if that goes off the way that they've designed it, without a lot of interruption, and I do think that it's going to be on the players at every school. How much do you want to play? You can't be guaranteed that you're not going to have somebody that picks up the virus because they went to the 7-Eleven or whatever. You can't be sure. And excuse me, I shouldn't say the 7-Eleven, the convenience store. I'm not saying 7-Eleven is a problem. The convenience store. You can't be sure that someone might not do that. But I mean, most of the stories we've seen are when we've seen athlete breakouts, most of the stories then get traced back to somebody went to, you know, somebody or somebody's went to a bar or went to a party. You said that about Louisville today. It was said about Rutgers earlier in the week. The Orlando Pride, back when they couldn't play in the NWSL tournament. It seems like, again, there's no guarantees that it's not going to be a problem from some routine daily activity. But if the athletes keep themselves out of those difficult situations, the odds of a football season taking place and subsequently a basketball season and all the other intercollegiate sports, the odds go so much higher.
Stay away from those gentlemen's clubs. I wanted to ask you about this. A very reputable, really good basketball reporter has picked Alabama to be the highest-ranked team from the SEC. Would that surprise you if Alabama's the best team in the league?
A little bit, but not a ton. I mean, I like their guys. I do think it's going to be very competitive because most of the teams that brought back veteran players, like I just went through the list, with the exception of LSU, which went, I think, 12-6 in the league last year, something like that. Most of the teams that are in that mix that brought back veteran players and have ability weren't overwhelming a year ago. They were either adequate or maybe a little under the line of where they wanted to be. And so I think that it's sort of like, okay, which coach do you like? You know, which group do you like? And then, of course, the Kentucky factor, not really knowing what they're going to look like. So if someone said Alabama or Arkansas, LSU probably has a little bit more proven talent than some others, but probably a few more holes than some others as well. Florida, which, again, fit that same description that I talked about, not really having a great year last year, but not having a bad one. So it just really – I wouldn't be surprised if any of those teams that I rattled off there, including the Vols, obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if any of those were picked by someone in particular to win the league.
All right, I got one more question. It kind of centers around the NBA. 10 years from now, who will we say is the better NBA player, Ja Morant or Zion Williamson?
Ooh, that's a great question. It really is. I think Zion, if he stays healthy, I never quite bought into the idea that he was going to break down because he's so big. But you do have that, you know, that nagging thing like, what if he does? But I think Zion is really special. I do think that what he brings to the court, very few have ever done. I wrote about it a year ago, a little less than a year ago, after he started to become a star. Maybe that was 2 years ago. I wrote that, you know, people who were trying to compare him to Charles Barkley or this guy or the other guy are totally missing the point. There's never been a player like Zion. I mean, 6'7", 280-ish pounds, who can fly above the rim like that. There's never been anybody close to that. Barkley could get up, but not like this guy, and he didn't ever weigh 200, you know, when he weighed 280, he couldn't get up like this guy. those guys, there's just never been anybody like Zion, and I think the NBA is going to have a hard time dealing with him.
I agree. Hey, Mike, it's so great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and we look forward to talking with you again down the road during basketball season.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Jimmy. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Mike. Mike DeCourcy, senior basketball writer, The Sporting News. When we come back, we got news about Alabama's offensive coordinator, about the NCAA student athletes, and about a VFL in the NFL. Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes along with Vince Ferrar. Vince, Najee Warrior, he has been activated off the Ravens' COVID list, so good for him. I think he's got a pretty good chance to make that team. What do you think?
Well, I think it'll be difficult. I mean, when you're a rookie and you've already missed some time, granted it's conditioning stuff right now, he's still probably been able to do any of the virtual stuff, but that's a really good roster, really good defense. I think his best shot is practice squad, and those extra roster spots would give him an opportunity. Also, when you're a rookie and you're not drafted, you're not going to have the preseason to be able to show what you can do. You're not going to have as many of the team settings with the scrimmages with other teams. So I think undrafted free agents is going to be the toughest it's ever been. So I certainly hope so. And actually, Justin Coleman was another VFL that was reactivated off of the reserve COVID list. That happened yesterday. So with Warrior back on for the Ravens, Coleman back after less than a week with the Lions, it bumps the VFLs on active NFL rosters back up to 28.
Yeah, I should have expanded that to practice squad. What I meant was I don't think the Ravens will cut him, but I do think he'll be there. All right, Alabama offensive coordinator Steve Sarkisian, a three-year extension, $2.5 million per year. That's according to ESPN. We got the Preds and the Coyotes. The Coyotes up 2-1 with under 8 minutes left. That series is tied at 1-1 in that playoff, so 8 minutes left in that contest. And then we know that the SEC has already announced that any student athlete that wants to opt out due to COVID will have a scholarship honored. The Pac-12 has said that. Well, now the NCAA has said all student athletes that opt out will have their scholarship honored. I think that is the right direction to go.
I agree, and not surprisingly, I don't think nationally the SEC got any credit for really being out front on that topic when it happened back on July 17th is when the SEC put that statement out. They didn't really get any credit for that. They always get blame. And then, you know, for them also, they mentioned in that statement that they would still determine at a later date and keeping tabs on what's going on whether that would move on to 2021 as well. So that'll be to be determined, but it's the right move. A lot of players are going to opt out anyway, and I think this covers your basis. Now, the conferences like the SEC are in a better financial position to be able to still pay for those scholarships, even if, you know, you have a bunch of opt-outs. But where others may say, well, you know, we can't afford this, so we'll shut it down. But I think it's absolutely the right move for the players and even from an optic standpoint as well.
Look for Tennessee's Jeremy Banks to be reinstated to the team. I think that it'll be possibly by the end of this week. It could filter into next week, but I look for him to be reinstated to the football team. I believe that's going to happen. I think he is basically met the criteria that he had to meet to be reinstated. So look for him to be on that roster shortly. Hey, when we come back, we will be joined by John McClain of the Houston Chronicle to talk NFL. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.